This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski. Welcome to the Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. We're just missing April Fool's Day, with it being April 2nd on this Wednesday.
A lot of fools in this room.
A lot of fools in this room. We didn't say anything about you.
I just assumed.
Well, you know.
So did I.
A good fool. Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, and Andy Hart.
So it's the offensive line this week, and coming off the last game the Patriots played, it's a position that fans have been a little up and roaring about after watching Tom Brady get beat up on in the passing game struggle. But I think we do need to remember that three-fifths of that offensive line went to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Matt Leitz, an all-pro and now a back-to-back Pro Bowler. Logan Mankins, by all accounts, is developing into one of the elite guards in the game. And Dan Copen, besides being a very productive center on the field, has as good a relationship with his quarterback maybe as any center in the National Football League.
Yep.
Stephen Neal, coming off a shoulder injury, had surgery reportedly, also had a knee injury in the Super Bowl, but when he's on the field, is as good as Logan Mankins, if you want to use Bill Belichick's comparison.
Right.
Right tackle would be the one position that I'd say you could look to upgrade. A couple draft picks they've used there in the middle rounds in recent years. Nick Kazier has been the starter the last few years, but Ryan O'Callaghan has also started some games in Kazier's absence. Both mid-round draft picks who I think are what they are. Clearly, I don't think either guy is of the Pro Bowl level like some of their teammates along the line.
Not at this point, at least. Yeah.
So, you know, if you are going to pinpoint one area to upgrade and or change via the draft and in this offseason, my guess is it would be right tackle. That's led some people to speculate as high as the number 7 overall pick that the Patriots could look offensive line for maybe the second best lineman on the board. By all accounts, Jake Long is going to be a top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 type pick. So let's start right there with Jake Long, the guy who'll probably be off the board before the Patriots pick. I'm of the mind that he's sort of a jag. I don't think he's an elite prospect. I don't think he's as good as he's going to be selected and paid to be. And I one thing that really jumped out to me was the guy he compared himself to at the NFL Combine. That's Matt Leitz.
Oh.
And I think that's sort of the problem with Jake Long. A lot of people say not a dominant guy, you know, could be a right tackle in the National Football League. He compares himself to Leitz because of the way he works out. I'm looking for elite when Orlando Pace, Hall of Fame left tackles is what I'm looking for. Either of you guys disagree with some of the, seems to be a common characterization that he's not an elite left tackle.
Well, I think that if he were on the board at 7 and I were the one making the choice, I don't think I would take him. I would take probably Boise State's Ryan Clady at that spot if that were me. Just from what I'd seen on film, I agree with your assessment of him not being, he might not have that killer instinct.
He definitely, well, on film,
on
he
film.
Does not show.
He doesn't show.
You know,
it,
we've joked about it. Rob Ryan says toughness jumps off the film.
Yeah.
Jake Long doesn't. He didn't get beat a lot. You know, the only guy who beat him was Golston from Ohio State for a sack. He just doesn't, you're right, have that, appear to have that killer instinct and that just
keep in consideration, he doesn't face a ton of what I think most people fear will be his problem, and that's speed.
Right. Golston.
You know, in the Big Ten, he's not facing elite speed.
Right.
Off the edge on a weekly basis. Even though the Big Ten is a good, solid football conference and a lot of good NFL players come from there, in particular, a lot of good offensive linemen have come from Michigan.
Sure.
I don't think that he's seeing the thing that I think is going to give him a lot of problems in the NFL, and I think ultimately is going to lead him to be a right tackle. Mm-hmm. In that regard, I agree 1,000% with Andy. I don't want to take a right tackle, a serviceable right tackle, in the top 10 of a draft.
Absolutely.
And before we get into all the other offensive linemen, I would even go a step further and say I'm not sure how big a need offensive line is right now. I know this Nick Kazier thing, I mean, we had an emailer this week actually suggest that if the Patriots didn't make the trade with San Francisco and they had chosen Joe Staley last year, the Patriots would now be considered the greatest team of all time because they wouldn't have lost the Super Bowl.
Heh.
I find that completely
That's a stretch.
Why does having Joe
laughable.
Staley mean Matt Light, Logan Mankins, Dan Copen aren't going to get beat?
And I, you know, to be honest with you, Nick Kazier is a guy in the Super Bowl itself. I think he is clearly the weak link of the mm-hmm. offensive line. I think the offensive line is pretty solid, though. I don't remember him really doing anything to stand out bad in the Super Bowl. I saw all the other guys at least once look really bad.
Yeah,
but, you know, I didn't think Kazier was the main culprit.
Right. It came from the other edge
and
up the middle for the most part, at least.
But you mentioned him, Eric, Ryan Clady. A lot of people believe in terms of measurables and upside could be a franchise type left tackle in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I thought he looked every bit of that on tape. I was very impressed with his tape and I think he plays under control, but does play with that edge, with that
Absolutely.
Anger and violence. I think he's a guy that can run block, pass block. I really was impressed with his tape, and I wouldn't be stunned if the Patriots go that direction at 7. You know, I won't be stunned with pretty much anything they do at 7 because I think this entire top part
open.
Of the draft is up
wide
in the
open.
Air.
Yeah.
But if you take him, I think you are taking him for maybe a year at right tackle and then left
Make
tackle, maybe Light moves over to the right. You know, I think his future in the NFL is as an elite-type left tackle.
Sure.
And even though Matt Light's an all-pro, I'm not sure anyone would really argue he's an elite left tackle.
But, hey, if that works out and you have a guy in Clady who becomes at least, if not an all-pro, but at least, like you said, a serviceable starting left tackle, you can move your all-pro to the
right.
other side.
And now you got
and now you have a
pretty
good
Yeah, that's why I think if I had to choose between the two, I would. I agree with you guys. Clady, I think, is the guy because I think long-term he could be the left tackle, and I'm not sure Jake Long can. I think Long is impressive in the running game in some of the stuff that you see, but not as impressive, I don't think, protecting that blind side.
By all accounts, very deep offensive line crop. Bill Belichick was quoted coming out of the owners' meetings talking about it. You go down the list, Chris Williams, a kid out of Vanderbilt, I think is another very good offensive tackle that's going to come out of this draft.
Yes.
I think he's a guy that could be better than Jake Long. I think Jake Long's going to be fine. He'll be in the league, 10, 15 years.
The kid
I just
from
don't
Pitt,
think he's
even,
great.
If he gets some experience. He
I didn't like him as much.
He didn't play very much. He's not been playing football all that long. I think that's going to be the thing that knocks
that's
him down.
Size.
Yeah, that's going to knock him down. But in terms of the raw ability, I think it might be there. Jeff, is it Ota?
Ota.
Yeah, and I think that he's a kid probably not. I mean, he's not a top 10. I'm talking later on
right.
in the draft.
Well, he's a guy that's right on the border of a first-line pick.
Yeah, he's a developmental guy, though. I don't think he's nearly as ready as some of these other guys that we're talking
about.
Yeah,
I think Clady is the most ready. Clady and Williams, to me, can both come in and be, pretty good tackles in the NFL right away. But as I said, deep draft, you guys got like Sam Baker out of USC, I thought looked pretty good on tape.
Yeah.
Gosser Cherilis out of BC. We know the history of BC offensive linemen. It's a pretty good school to come from. Mm-hmm. I know they fired he resigned the offensive line coach, so it's a different guy this year, but he played under him for a portion of his career there. Mm-hmm. And the track record's pretty good with BC offensive
Cherilis
linemen.
Cherilis is a pretty good athlete, too.
And he's had a good stretch these last few weeks since the Senior Bowls and the Combine. His stock has risen.
Yeah, he's a borderline first-rounder, too.
And, just as we always do, NFLDraftScout.com, somewhere in the range of 25 tackles they see being drafted in the 7 rounds of the draft. Basically, you're talking about, somewhere around 70 or 65 offensive, a lot of linemen get drafted. And we've seen that here. Guys like Clint Oldenburg and these random names will get drafted, might not end up with this team, may end up elsewhere. One guy I brought up with you, Paul, John Greco, just to close out the tackles, kid out of Toledo. We're talking about Nick Kazier.
Yeah.
He was Nick Kazier's replacement basically at Toledo, had a very nice career for himself, but was forever being compared to Nick Kazier and is friendly with Nick Kazier because no matter what we think of Nick Kazier here, in terms of Toledo,
he
was a 4-year starter. I might have been 4-year all conference.
4-year starter.
He comes
for
here,
sure.
Protected Bruce Gutkowski, obviously. So there's a lot of, a track record there, and he's sort of fallen in those lines. But he could be a guy, who knows? We are always just kind of throwing names out there late in the draft with offensive line.
As you go to guard now, how high does the kid from Auburn go, Albert? Is he
Virginia.
I'm sorry.
Very high.
my bad.
He's a guy that's on the rise as much as almost anyone in the draft, I think, because some people think, he is a guard, but some people think he could be an NFL tackle.
Yeah.
And obviously we know your value shoots up if you're going to be a tackle.
Now, your guy, Mel Kiper, who you obviously have a
we go very, back and forth,
very close relationship
with. We're like schoolgirls. We talk three times a night.
He calls you at 10:30 at night.
Except he always talks about himself.
He's very, very
I'm talking about girls, and he wants to talk about his own hair.
He's Mel, very high on Brandon Albert. I mean, is he a guy top half of the first round?
Oh, yeah. I think he's a top 15 type pick, and I think it's
a
projection.
I can't take a guard in that. I mean, if he's going to be a tackle, then okay, but I can't take a guard.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't see that on the film. I didn't get that impression that he had that sort of versatility.
People
or
rave
that sort
about
of talent.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm very surprised.
And
by
they
that.
Say it's circumstantial why he wasn't a tackle at Virginia because of, you know, DeBrickashaw and some other things they had going on and blah blah blah. But I'm always a little hesitant. I mean, if the guy's an NFL left tackle, then I think he'd be a pretty good college left tackle. You know what I mean?
You would think. Yeah.
So, especially to start when you, as Paul says, you're talking about top half of the first round. There's some money involved there. You're looking to get an All-Pro type player there. But some of the other guys. Oregon State, Schooning, I don't really know. Interesting kid is the kid out of Southern Cal, Rashal, Shiloh, who no one expected to come out. And I think it's a tough pick with him because everybody thinks had he gone back to school, he would have been an elite prospect next year. But now he's not as polished as he would have been. And where do you take him for what he could be a year and a half from now, or are you comparing him to a guy like Albert who's more polished and is a prospect with legitimate upside this year? So he's an interesting guy, I think, to keep an eye on.
Plus, he's a USC player. And, you know, as our colleague Tom Caselli likes to say, if there's a USC player there, draft.
It's always, you know, there's a number of Southern Cal offensive linemen.
Radovich,
I was somewhat impressed with at the combine because he has certainly that edge. He reminded me of someone who could be a future serial killer based on his look and his approach to everything. I'd love to have him in the trenches for my team. Another interesting guy, Eric Young out of Tennessee, coming off an injury. I want to say a torn quad, a major leg injury that has hurt. He's
I believe
still,
it is a quad.
Still listed as like a fourth-round type prospect, but as a guy many people think would have been a first-round type prospect.
Hasn't been able to work out, do all that stuff.
And it's another one where you have to weigh the injury versus, you know, what his actual talent is when healthy. How healthy will he be? Another name that's out there in terms of local prospects out of UConn. Donald Thomas is a third, fourth, fifth round type prospect as an offensive lineman. So,
and that would be the area I would think that Patriots fans should be keeping an eye on. Because I guess it's always possible that they utilize that seven pick on an offensive lineman. But I would tend to think more that they're looking to depth. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably feel like they have a pretty good offensive line, Super Bowl notwithstanding. I would agree with that assessment. I don't think it's anywhere near the top of the list in terms of problems. I would look more to depth like they always do.
Right.
And you know, they drafted three guys last year, I believe, right? With Oldenburg and Hilliard and Elgin,
right.
You know, and none of those guys obviously panned out. But, you know, I think that you it's one of those positions where you do well to try to stockpile young guys and develop them.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll move on to the center position. Not as many centers get drafted, you know, talking about a dozen guys maybe. The top, by most accounts, is Arizona State's Mike Pollock. Or Pollock.
Pollock.
Pollock, whatever you want to call it. I like Pollock. We'll stick with Pollock. Archie Bunker would be okay with it. Wake Forest, Steve Justice, John Sullivan, Notre Dame.
I wish I knew.
What? I don't know either. Doug Ligursky out of Marshall's, a riser. Centers are an interesting position because they're usually a little undersized coming out. They often play in the NFL under. I mean, Dan Copen is, what, 295 maybe, somewhere in that range. Couple names I want to talk about. Sullivan out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, we always like to do the pipeline guys. And then a guy who's not projected to be drafted is sort of down the list some. Ryan Wendell out of Fresno State. 6'2", 286, which is undersized.
Another pipeline, though.
But a pipeline guy. And we know Pat Hill basically ran Bill Belichick's offensive line development program in Cleveland.
That's
and,
correct.
You know, Elgin, an undersized technician center they take out of Iowa last year. You got another guy in the Belichick family tree. So he's a name I would keep an eye on as maybe even a free agent, you know, priority free agent they bring into camp because he is, as I said, down the list a little bit. But, you know, how many are we looking for here? I mean, a couple, I would think.
Yeah.
You know, they have eight picks,
yeah.
So two offensive linemen is a possibility.
Sure.
Because at some point here, some of these guys are going to start to get, you know, they come into the system and they're going to leave the system, whether it's O'Callaghan, whether it's, you know, probably not Kazier, but if he loses the starting job, you never know. Maybe he's not a backup type. Wesley Britt brought back as an exclusive rights free agent. seems to be a pretty good swing tackle backup type for a game or two.
Yeah, and then they have three right tackles that have at least some starting experience. I think Britt might only have one game, but at least some starting experience.
And Britt gets a lot of playing time.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And Britt, you know,
and you have Hochstein for the middle.
Thing and the special Hochstein in the middle, so you know Billy Yates might be on his way sort of through.
Yeah, there's
the
not
system.
A lot of wiggle room for making the roster.
Oh no, because as Bill says, you're an offensive lineman, you can't do a lot of the things that linebackers and tight ends do on special teams. So you're going to have your probably one interior backup, one you know outside backup, and that's about it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can sort of, because these guys haven't stuck over the last couple of years in the development program. You know, Dan Stevenson out of Notre Dame, Elgin, a lot of these guys have been here and they're gone. Mm-hmm. Whereas in previous years, the Yateses of the world and the Hochsteins of the world, the Tom Ashworths of the world, they were brought in, whether it be as free agents or whatever, and they stayed for a while. You know, had a year on the practice squad, a year of inactive. They haven't been able to do that as much lately.
I think it's because they had such success with some of those guys, like Britt, like Neil, who came in you know, without having played college football. And they've had that. They've been able to have that program work for them, and now they have this stable of guys, and it's like, well, we can't really develop anybody because we don't have a spot for you.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but you know, obviously at the top of the draft, as we said, Jake Long is the big name. You know, ESPN I saw yesterday questioning whether Long and Long could go one and two in some order. St. Louis and you know has some needs on both lines, so it'd be a possibility you end up seeing a Long and a Long going first.
That's the long and the short of it.
And then if that
long
kicker,
and long of it.
If the kicker out of Mount St. Mary's
longest,
or whatever,
right.
longest gets drafted.
Chain longest.
Could be the longest
long,
draft
long
ever.
Long, long, longest.
I thought you meant Eric.
What?
The kicker.
No, this guy really kicks. He doesn't make it up in his head.
Oh.
Anyway, that's going
to
put
it
the
It
always
rest. Has to go there.
Well,
always.
You know, we're talking offensive line. We needed to spice it up a little with a shot at you, Eric.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
A couple Archie Bunker jokes, a shot at you. That really brings it all together when you're talking about the trenches. No one knows who's good or not.
I still think you're a good cooker.
Cooker.
Yeah.
Huh?
I do.
Yeah.
Well,
back to the host of the show.
That's what happens when she gets off the script.
Today, Junior!
Yay! Well, thank you, guys. There's only a few weeks left until the draft, so make sure to join us every Wednesday for the Draft Prospect Review. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.